Okay. Yay. Well, it's lovely as always to see all of your faces. I'm so grateful that you are here. Thank you for making the time, setting aside the time to join me and the rest of the group. As usual, we've got lots of ground to cover, and I'm excited because tonight we're going to dive into some things that the three of you and I have already kind of gone over in, the last weeks or months personally between the two of us. But we're going to dive a little bit deeper and explore some things that we have. It's going to be new. There's going to be a little bit of new material, so that should be pretty fun. So lots to cover, and we will have Carla joining a little bit later. So if someone pops on the video or on the line, that's probably who that will be. And yeah, let's just go ahead and get started. So I want to thank you again for being here and for being flexible. I know that schedules are, you guys are all either busy or have kids or have cats or have husbands or jobs or things like that. And for you to prioritize this call and make this group a priority is really, really important to me. And I appreciate it a lot. So thank you. And I'm just going to speak to this because of last week. And there's absolutely no fault, no blame, no negativity here whatsoever. But there were some last-minute cancellations, and things come up, plans change, which is totally understandable, very human. I have no problem with that whatsoever. What I would love is for everybody, either on the call right now or listening to the call in the recording or in the future, to just remember and realize and know how important it is for each and every one of us to show up because we all add so much to the group and so much value. And so I just really want to hold the line for all of us coming together and showing up as frequently and as consistently as we can because it makes a big difference. So, but thank you all for being here tonight. So let's go ahead with some review. We have had two calls prior to this, and each call there have been some action steps or intentions or things that we have said that we want to do. And so I want to check in and create some sharing around that. So we'll start this call with kind of a progress report and update about where we're at with whether it's desire or whether it's that awareness piece, the stimulus response, or our non-negotiables, or having more fun. These are all things we've talked about and said that we would love to integrate into our lives. So we'll kind of start with a progress report. So let's do this. Let's do round robin style. We'll do our name and what's good, anything that's good in our lives, and or something that we're grateful for, kind of, I guess, synonymous. And then a share. So where you're at in terms of the progress based on the last couple of weeks or the last couple of calls and the goals that you have said that you would like to achieve, or the action steps that you've said that you want to take. Is this making sense? Awesome. All right. So I'll go ahead and start out. I'm Fawn. And what went well? Well, I'm incredibly grateful for two things. First and foremost, for safe travel. I've covered, I think, cumulatively about 12,000 miles in the last 5 weeks. And it's been amazing and a whirlwind. And there have also been a lot of things that have popped up and situations to handle and spontaneous events to kind of juggle. So I'm grateful that I've been able to do that and that I've been safe and been able to, like, I'm sitting here with you right now, healthy, and I'm massively grateful for that. And the other thing that I'm grateful for is technology. The fact that I can be here in Mexico in this small village on the ocean and see all of your beautiful faces, and that you can also connect with each other and connect with the world. Super grateful. In terms of my progress report, I don't think I outright said it on the first call, but my intention is to show up wholeheartedly and completely and fully for all of you in this process on every call and in between and be here as your resource and your rock. So that's my commitment. That's my non-negotiable. And I am doing my diligent best to be that and do that for all of you. So I think progress is going pretty well. If for some reason there's some feedback around that you think I should know or a share or something I could be doing better or differently, I'm all ears. No judgment, no problem at all. I really want your feedback. So but insofar as progress, yeah, that's where I'm at with leading the group. So let's go ahead and Karen, would you be willing to introduce yourself, share something that's good, something you're grateful for, and then how progress is going for you? Let's see, I think you might still be muted. I can't, there we go.
There we go, thank awesome. You.
Yeah, I can hear you, yeah, great.
Hello everybody, my name is Karen Nagel. I am grateful for a couple of things. One of them, I was also going to say technology, but since I didn't even unmute myself and Fawn already used that one, I'll skip that. Again, I'm grateful for the group call. I think it takes everybody out of their comfort zones a little bit, but I think it's so good to have a group call and just talk, bounce off ideas and thoughts. My internet connection is not very strong. Should I go and sit somewhere else or can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. The video feed is a little bit slow, but that's no problem. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm also grateful for time, having some time. For months and years now, I haven't had time for anything. It was always so crammed. And recently, I resigned to work on business full time. And the business isn't keeping me too busy, so I have a lot of time to do things I want to. And today, I read a lot, which was great, because I can't remember the last time I just read a book during the day. It feels awesome. Uh-huh. With regards to progress, there was a few non-negotiables for the short term. And one of those was to get into a better routine that would support a healthier lifestyle, happier lifestyle, and a more productive lifestyle. So that's been going really well. There's been some days that's been bad, that I failed completely, and then I just restart again the next day. And with that routine, it included claiming my mornings and especially changing the morning routine. I copied a couple of ideas from you guys, which is great, and it's working well, and it also includes exercise. So yeah, it's definitely room for improvement, but it's going well.
Yes, I'm so happy to hear that. So you're intentionally creating more time for yourself and being more having more intention with what you do with your time, it sounds like.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, good for you. What are you reading, if you don't mind my asking?
That's a book that you recommended, that it's not just you.
Oh, good, yes. Good for you. Perfect. Yay. Oh, I'm so glad you're reading that. That's awesome. Great.
Yeah, I thought it was just me. That's what it's
called. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that, Karen. I'm so happy to hear that you are shifting your daily routine, creating more intentional time for yourself, claiming your mornings, right? Like we talked about on the last call, really claiming that time for yourself. And it sounds like that's going well for you. I can actually hear the empowerment in your voice, like how much you feel like you're more in control of your day versus like, where's my time going? I don't know. You know, I feel so overwhelmed. So good for you. Happy to hear it. Thanks for sharing. All right, Patricia, would you be willing to introduce yourself and share something that's good and then give us a little progress report? And I think you're muted as well. Let's see here.
I promised myself I wouldn't do that.
It's okay. I think I may have jinxed the group by saying I'm thankful for technology.
It's just, you threw us all off. Okay, so my name is Patricia. I'm from Chicago. Something I'm grateful for is, I guess, just the ability to have perspective in general, you know, no matter what's going on, making the effort at least to kind of take a step back and put things in perspective. Can help, especially during those weeks where maybe things aren't going exactly how you'd hope they'd be going. If you like can't build up the motivation, which was kind of like the week that I had. So spoiler alert, that's what's going on right now. And so then I guess segueing into what I feel like I've accomplished, I did feel accomplished. I'm helping some friends who moved overseas. They were actually the president and vice president of our student council in high school, and it's the 10-year reunion time. So they're both out of the country and they need someone like on the ground for them, to kind of help plan things here locally. Mm-hmm. So I was doing some work with them, digitally. So I guess another, you know, that's another nod to technology, being able to connect with them, even though they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. And just kind of going in, and it's been interesting to like reconnect with some people, involved like looking through old yearbooks. So it felt kind of nostalgic. And, so that was kind of a nice sort of thing. It made me, it helped me to feel more, connected than I had in the last week. Definitely gave me kind of like a sense of purpose, even though it was a small purpose, it was something where I could look at and, you know that I was accomplishing a goal, with people who I, you know, care about. So that was a highlight. That was a good part of the last couple of weeks.
Terrific. Yeah. So helping friends out, that always feels good, or usually feels good, you know,
yeah, definitely.
Doing it out of the voluntary place in our hearts. That's mm-hmm. awesome. And then being able to kind of reminisce and go back through yearbooks and just have, you know, remember those memories and people yeah. that you care about. Yeah, that's great. And I really like how you said it helped you like connect more with purpose, right? There's something yeah. about this that's really making you feel like you're contributing to something.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Love that. Oh, great. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. I love that. All right. And then Murray, would you be willing to introduce yourself and catch us up to speed and share a grateful? Thank you. You are
there. I remember to unmute.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay.
Sure can.
I'm Murray. I'm from Ranch Cucamonga in Southern California, and it's getting warm again here. but the last couple of weeks have been pretty busy here. I have two kids that are in high school, very involved. And so I've been doing a lot of running back and forth. But the good thing is I'm getting involved with other parents, getting to see them go forward and learn new things and accomplish new things. So that's always a pleasure for me anyway. Getting to apply some of my hobbies like photography and using them to help them out as a group. So that's always good. And then Karen, I'm glad that you mentioned that book. It's not just me, because I had just finished reading it.
Yay.
And I love that book. It's awesome. It's been one of those always in the back of my head, just trying to apply all the things that I've learned, giving yourself a little bit of leeway and not being so rigid in expectations of what needs to be done, what has to be done all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is being kind to yourself is one big thing for me. And I feel like I'm moving forward. It's been a good mental time, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's been feeling good. That's good. Yeah.
Wonderful. Oh, that's so great. I'm thrilled that you are, that you're using your creative muscles, like that your photography to, it sounds like with the parents and involved with your kids' activities that you've been able to use your photography, which I know means a lot to you because it's something that you really enjoy. So I'm super thrilled to hear that. And then also that this book resonated and really landed so deeply for you. And it did for me too. So I can definitely relate to that experience of like, oh my God, did she write this for me? Is she psychic? And then being able to take her suggestions and recommendations, you know, like how to authentically relate with people or take down shame screens and, you know, all of that. It's so incredibly valuable and in loving ourselves and kind of, you know, letting go of how much other people's opinions affect us and what we feel like we should do and actually like looking inward and celebrating who we are. And yeah, I'm so thrilled that that's impacting you in a positive way. Awesome. And that's a book that I will be highlighting more in the relationship with self module, module three of this actual course. Brené Brown's work is very influential in all of that for me. So terrific. All right. Well, thank you so much for the shares, ladies. I'm really delighted to hear about the progress. I want to remind everybody that as long as we're moving forward with the intentions that we set for ourselves and the actions that we set, that's the jam, right? That's what matters. We don't have to take these huge leaps every week or every 2 weeks. We don't have to come back and say, I scaled Mount Everest. It's not necessarily about, like, you know, the really big strides. And I guess another way to say this is that every step counts, and every action we take in the direction of our alignment with what we want in our lives, like, it adds up, and our habits start to become more first nature. And before we know it, we're actually, you know, journaling every day, when before it was like pulling teeth. So I just encourage everybody to continue moving forward and upward with that momentum. If you run into roadblocks, which will happen, or obstacles, challenges, which we may touch on a little bit more on in this call, if those roadblocks or challenges happen, or maybe there's like a week where we fall off the wagon, we're not doing the things that we want to be doing, or we have, you know, we're not feeling as motivated, that's okay. The important thing is that we jump back on, and we get back on our feet, and we keep moving forward, and we don't just, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, oh, I had a bad week, so now it doesn't matter. It does matter. So I just want to encourage all of you to keep the momentum. The goal here is motion. The goal is action and staying in alignment. So I'm so proud of all of you. So proud of you for every step that you're taking and implementing. It's a really big deal. And yeah. So, okay. So I'm going to go ahead and segue into, I'm curious also about, I had talked about self dates on our last call, taking ourselves out on a date once a week or more, for an hour or at least an hour. So I'm wondering if anybody did that, if so, how it went. Does anyone want to share about the self dates? Anybody raise a hand? No. Did anybody do it? Okay. Nope. Okay. Well, I do want to speak to that. That's part of building this relationship with self, which this, you know, this whole course, everything we're doing is about building an honest and true and exciting relationship with ourselves. And one of the funnest ways to do that, and one of the, I think at least, most exciting ways to do that, is to take ourselves on a self date. When I first started doing this, this was like 5 years ago, I was taking Julia Cameron's course, The Artist's Way. And there's two practices that she really emphasizes in her course. The first one she calls morning pages, which is journaling 3 pages a day, first thing in the morning, which for me was like, oh my, course correcting the Titanic. I was like, how? Because I'm not a morning person, and 3 pages is a lot, but I committed to it and I did it actually for the whole program, which was amazing. But another thing that she emphasizes is the self-date thing. And I found so much value in that. And I think what I and probably she would really emphasize in the self-dates is that we make so much time for everybody else in our lives, right? Or as our friends, our families, our Netflix, our drugs of choice, or, you know, whatever it is that we like to do. But we tend to neglect or overlook the importance of treating ourselves. So this kind of goes with self-compassion, self-care. Self-dates are really important. It may sound silly. It may sound kind of frivolous or meaningless or low priority, but I encourage you and I invite you to try it on. Just experiment with it for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Take yourself out for an hour. It could be going on a walk. It could be watching a really inspiring movie. Just something with yourself to show yourself how much you care and how much you're committed and how much you love yourself. So that will be an open invitation for you to do weekly, and I'll be checking in on that because I do believe that it's so incredibly important. So does that make sense? Does anyone have any questions about self-dates or what that's all about? Okay, awesome. All right. So yeah, this is your permission slip to like go out and do something fun or schmancy. Or
I have a question.
Yeah, Karen.
How long does it take you every day to write 3 pages and journaling?
Well, it depends on the size of the journal. I used to carve out, when I was doing that every day, it was a journal about this big, pretty big actually. And I would carve out an hour every day. So it would take me, it depends on if I was like, some days I would just have so much to write, or I was really just channeling or processing. So it would take me 20 minutes. And then other days it would take me the full hour or even longer. So really depends. Yeah, there's no wrong or right way to do it. Again, like I think at first I was like, I'm going to get a small journal, kind of cheat. and I was like, wait, I'm doing this for myself. So I'm just cheating myself if I do that. But at any rate, yeah, I think between half an hour to an hour is what it used to. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that I haven't spoken a lot about here on these calls, is journaling and the multitude of advantages of journaling. And I won't go into too much of a diatribe about that, but ladies, it's invaluable. Journaling is a way for our subconscious to connect with our conscious mind, and a way for us to have this really important emotional and cathartic processing. So it's, I would say meditating and journaling are both kind of in tandem, very, very important and really incredible ways for our processing to happen and for us to get to know ourselves better. So I encourage everybody, and I'm talking to myself right now too, because haven't been as diligent about my journaling practice. So I got myself a Mexico journal that says fun on the front, and I'm going to be journaling every morning. So I will commit to that with all of you. All right. Good question, Karen. Thanks for that. All right. So I'm going to segue here. Does anybody have any questions from the welcome module, setting intentions for this course, for yourself? Any questions at all from what we've covered so far on the first or second calls? There have been the topics of desire, stimulus response, awareness, all sorts of things. So I just want to see if there's any questions. Okay, nothing so far. Okay. So tonight we're going to go ahead and move into the module 1.1 materials, which is something I love to call lifestyle gardening. And raise your hand if you've had a chance to take a look at the lifestyle gardening worksheets from module 1.1. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. All right. Karen stepped away. Terrific. Okay, so you're familiar with the lifestyle gardening. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. I have added a kind of a complement to that module that is the values worksheet, which I've had both, I think all three of you do on a personal level, but we're going to be diving into values a little bit more tonight. So we've talked a lot about how important it is to be true to ourselves. And I think based on what I know about all three of you individually, we've all really kind of in the last few months at least dug really deep to ask ourselves, you know, what is important to me? How can I be true to myself? How can I be honest with myself? So for those of you who are listening in on the call in the future, one of the core tenets of everything that we do as human beings in terms of our personal development is being honest with ourselves and true to ourselves. And I'm going to be diving into that a little bit more here. So with lifestyle gardening, we're going to be implementing and taking a closer look at our values, what our values are. And then what does our life look like right now in four categories? We've got environmental, social, active, and personal. So we're going to be taking a look at what results are we getting in each of those categories, and what do we want to keep and water, so to speak? What do we want to weed out? And what do we need to plant? What seeds do we need to plant? So I love this analogy of lifestyle gardening as it applies to our lives. It's a very simple way to think about things. So when I am in my, you know, going on about my daily life and something's not working for me, or I'm getting a result that I don't want, like maybe I have this pain in the neck friend or person that I thought was a friend that is just continuously talking crap or gossips or something like that, I get to take a really close look at what it is that I want in my life. And because I'm committed to being true and honest to myself, I get to have that conversation with myself and ask, do I want this person in my life? Or maybe do I need to talk to this person and ask them to be more, have more integrity with the way that they talk about other people or me or themselves. So the point here is for us to be really, really consciously in choice about what it is we want. Because if we are not in awareness, if we're just letting, you know, letting our boat sail willy-nilly, as we've talked about before, then we're going to be getting all sorts of results that we have not even created. And we'll find these plants sprouting up in our garden, and we'll just, you know, what is this plant? I didn't plant a cactus, you know, but plants will just start planting themselves, and it will become, it'll become kind of a jungle. And then we have to go in and really like kind of tear out a bunch of stuff to make room for what we want. So the idea here is to kind of zoom out and look at our life as though it were a garden and ask ourselves very honestly, what are the things that are working for me? What are the things that are working against me? Very, very simple. And in each of those four categories, again, so we've got social, active, environmental, and personal. So I gave an example of a social, you know, a weed to pull. I'll give an example of an active seed to plant. So as I'm here, down here in Mexico, I'm feeling really inspired to start my yoga practice again. I've been just on the road so much that I've admittedly not been exercising as much as I would like to. So I've made a commitment to plant the seed, or maybe plant the seed / water the seedling again, to start doing my yoga every morning as well as my journaling. So that's something in terms of action that I want to plant, that I want to foster, that I want to grow. So is this making sense? The thinking of things as a garden, weeding plants, planting seeds, watering plants. Okay. And I don't want this to sound overly simplistic. I know that it, you know, maybe it does, but it's really helpful when I think about my life that way, because the goal here for all of us, at least as far as I understand, is that we all want our lives to be these thriving, beautiful gardens with these amazing plants, you know, these people in our lives, these actions, this our beautiful environments. We want our lives to be these teeming with life and abundance and integrity experiences. So it's really important that we consciously go through and take a look at that, so that we can consciously create our reality. So is this making sense? Thumbs up, good. Okay, awesome. So let me just take a look at my notes here. So values are the guideposts of our lives. I didn't realize until I started working with a coach, I didn't really even know or consider what a value was or how it applied to my life and how it affected me. And after studying the importance of values for a long time now and living by them, I understand how incredibly useful it is to be aware of what our values are. So when we, again, raise that bar of awareness and we take a look at that values exercise, I put it on the module 1.1 site. Go ahead and take a look at the values exercise if you haven't already. And what you'll see is this really, really long list of values. I'm going to go ahead and just give some examples here. Just a second. So we've got like abundance, adaptability, aliveness, alertness, charity, conformity, congruency. So there's all of these words that are here to be helpful in better understanding ourselves. So the values exercise is very simple. Go ahead and go through it. Circle, highlight, copy and paste the values that you feel resonate with you. And however big that list is great. And then once you have that list, go ahead and step away for a day or maybe a couple of hours, come back. And the idea here is to kind of really narrow down and hone in and group these values into the primary values that really, really drive you in your life, that are super freaking important. The things that you know about yourself that are so important to you that you won't compromise them. Or it would take a lot for you to compromise them. So I'll give you some examples. These are some of mine. Adventure, joy, creativity, compassion, fairness, consciousness, responsibility, optimism, harmony. So when I went through that list and I, you know, I pulled these out of there, it was very helpful for me to know that these are kind of the core drivers in my life. And when I wrote this list down, this is, I just wrote this down again, but I have a printout from a couple of years ago and it's pretty much the same, but I hung it on my wall. So every single day I got to see the things that drive me in my life and base my decisions and base my actions around my values. Is this making sense so far? Values? Okay, great. So go ahead and do the values exercise, you know, in your own, on your own time if you haven't already done it. I know a couple of you already have. And another thing to do as well is go through and make a list of the values that maybe you don't have going on so much for yourself right now, but you really want to. You would really love to have more of these values in your life. So maybe you would love to feel more responsible, or maybe you would like to be more creative, or you feel creative, but you'd like to, you know, again, that activity piece. Maybe you'd like to be more creative in an actionable way. So write down a list of the values that you'd like to have more of so that you're aware of how you might be able to take action in creating more of that in your life. So how do values apply to lifestyle gardening? How does this all tie together? Well, when we look at our lives, I'll use the category of environment. Okay, that's a good one. So if I'm doing some introspection, I'm doing some exploring of how my environment might need some lifestyle gardening, and I look around myself and I've got a bunch of clutter, like just knickknacks and tchotchkes and things that I don't really use ever, or clothes that I never wear, but I'm like, oh, maybe someday I'll wear that old sweatshirt again. And if I have a value for cleanliness or a value for intention, right, then that's not really aligning with my physical environment at all. If I have a value for intention and I have all these things just laying around by default, that doesn't quite line up. So what we want to do is we want to utilize our values for deciding what stays, what gets planted, and what gets weeded out. Is that connecting? Taking kind of two big concepts here and marrying them. Let me turn the page here. Okay, yeah, so in doing the lifestyle gardening exercise, if you haven't already done it, or if you're in the process, or even if you have, go back through that. And for each question, once you've created this list of values and you're clearer about what your values are, really ask yourself, like, does this part of my life align with my values? And if not, does it need to be upgraded in some way? Do I need to up-leveled? Maybe I need to have a conversation with somebody, or maybe I need to throw out half of my old clothes and I'll keep the other half, or maybe it just needs to be weeded out altogether. But really, ladies, your values are your truth, and you can't lie to yourself. Like, I can't lie to myself and try to convince myself that I'm totally okay with having piles of stuff all over my house. Like, I can try to be in denial, but it won't work. So yeah, your values are your truth. And as you're going through and you're asking yourself what to take out, what to plant, what to water, keep this in mind, and your values will never fail you. And they're really useful for decision-making as well. So if you have a decision, you know, between this job and this job, or you have a decision between, do I go on a trip or do I save the money and stay home, and, you know, whatever decisions you might have on your plate, values are also really useful in making those decisions. You can put your values literally next to the options and say, who fits, you know, who's the best fit here? And it can be a really great way, really great guide in making those kinds of decisions. And inversely, kind of to speak to the opposite of that, or what happens when we live out of integrity, and we're going to do some sharing around this, if you're willing. When we don't live by our truth and we don't live by our values, that's where regrets start to happen. And I don't believe in regrets. I believe that every experience lends a really special educational benefit for us. But when I know that when I don't live by my values and I don't live in my truth, that's when I'm like, oh man, like, why did I do that? Or my gut feeling was to go left and I went right. We feel unsatisfied, you know, maybe we're like people pleasing or we're saying yes to people, which is against our self-truth, but we're concerned that maybe they'll be mad at us or maybe they'll have a bad time. So when we don't live by our values, we settle, we tolerate. Another way that I have described this before with clients is we're cheating on ourselves. We're basically saying that somebody else's needs or some other aspect of our life that's not serving us or not empowering to us, like that's more important than our truth. And to me, that's pretty adulterous when it comes to self-love and self-honesty and self-respect. So I don't want to make this sound too serious, but at the same time, the implications and the ramifications of not being honest with ourselves and true to ourselves and living with our values it's pretty severe. So that was a really big share. I want to check in with everybody, see if there are any questions at all about what I've said. I'm hoping this is connecting, but there are a lot of kind of like key points to it. How are we doing? Good? Okay. Yes, Marie.
Sorry. Okay. So one of the first questions that popped in my head when I was, I just looked at the list again. Mm-hmm. And the main question would be, are those the things that I consider valuable now and may need to reevaluate whether they should stay valuable as well as what I want? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Is this the final list or do you need to narrow it down to what is the most important?
Right, right. Whichever you feel serves you best. Let me make sure I hear your question correctly here. So are you asking, are these values still relevant for me and therefore should I still be paying attention to them, or?
Well, like in terms of prioritizing, some values I might realize that I have those values or I'm trying to attain, like accomplishment, for example, maybe big on my list, but do I need to make it less important and not, you know, not put all my effort into accomplishments?
I see what you're saying. Okay. So accomplishment and accomplishments, those can be, a feeling of accomplishment can happen from making a meal or having a good conversation. In terms of accomplishments, the actual noun, right, of accomplishment, like winning a contest or like getting a promotion. So those are more of like the actions of it. So it's up to you to define what fulfills you in terms of accomplishment. Does that make sense? Like you can define to what degree you feel accomplishment, how important it is for you to feel that experience of accomplishment. And if it feels like it's overwhelming or if it feels like it's kind of taking over a lot of your bandwidth in your life, then maybe you can dial back or maybe you can kind of shift the meaning that you make around accomplishment. I don't know if this is answering your question.
Yeah. So actually that does answer the question, because I was, I think what I'm hearing you say is you can almost change the meaning of the term, but still stick to that value.
Yes.
Yeah. So that I find that helpful.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. That's a really good question. It's all about what works for us, right? So if it works for us to be really, really accomplishment driven, which is totally fine. And I know a lot of people I'm that way sometimes, like there are sprints where I'm just like rocking stuff out and I'm all about it. It's when I start to associate or attach my sense of self-worth around accomplishment. So like if I don't achieve the thing, then I feel like crap about myself or I feel less than worthy. So it's when we start to tether it with kind of unhealthy interpretations or unhealthy meaning that it can kind of become a slippery slope. Or if it's at the cost of other aspects of our lives that keep us in balance. Is that helpful? Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Great question. Yeah. Yeah. So we're always in choice to, you know, to what degree do we want this value to be blooming in our garden? And what meaning do we want to place on this value? sometimes I shift my expectations of self just as a personal share. I'll say, you know what, like making a really healthy meal for myself today is that's my accomplishment for today. Cause accomplishment's very important for me. Because sometimes there's this like expectation that I'm going to write 4,000 emails and I'm also going to write content and I'm going to call these friends and I'm going to do, you know, and some days it's just like shifting the meaning of like, what does accomplishment mean to me today? And having that ability to consciously choose that. So hope that makes sense. Great question. Any other questions, Karen, Trisha? Okay. So let's do a share. And I'm going to really put the ball in your court here. I don't want to put any unnecessary pressure or stress on anybody, but I think it could be fun and vulnerable to share. Well, we could do this a few different ways. So either something that you want to weed out because you know that it's not in alignment with your values, or something that you want to plant seeds, something you want to plant in your garden, or something that you want to water or foster that you already have growing in your garden. So you could share all three. You can share just one of those, whatever, you know, resonates with you. And this could be along the lines of the non-negotiables that you've already shared, or the desires, or the having more fun that we've talked about, or it can be something completely new. So when you stand back and you think about your garden and what might need some weeding or seeding or watering, I would love to hear any shares around that. And I'll go ahead and start the round robin here. Let's see. So, yeah. All right. So I'll stay on the topic of my morning routine, which when I'm in one place is really easy for me to be in routine about because I'm not moving around all the time. But as I've been traveling, it's been more challenging for me to keep that conscious intention of having a morning routine. And so as I've kind of settled here in Mexico, is my first day, but I'm going to go out and get a yoga mat. I'm going to start journaling. And so I'm simultaneously weeding out this kind of like icky plant that's been crawling in of not doing my morning routine as much. So I'm going to weed that guy out and I'm going to plant, get back into my morning routine, plant those seeds, water the habits that are already there, but maybe they're just kind of like dormant because it's been a month and a half of traveling. So in all honesty, I think that would be like a trifecta right now for me of my lifestyle gardening is doing a bit of all three of those. And I'm really looking forward to it because I know that one of my values is energy and creativity and feeling really good. And when I'm doing my yoga and my journaling and waking up with intention and not looking at my phone, that's another part of this is like not looking at my phone until an hour after I wake up, like come hell or high water, I am not picking that thing up. So that would be a weed, right? That's a weed I'm going to weed out. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. I know that when I set my mornings for myself, just like we talked about on the last call, I feel like $1,000,000 and the rest of my day is like, yes, I just feel so much more courageous and confident and creative and all the good things. So that's my personal honest share around lifestyle gardening. I'll speak to another thing too that I kind of mentioned at the beginning of the call, which is the social part of this. A few years back, I found myself in a couple of friendships that were really unhealthy. And I didn't really realize it until I was in it. And I want to speak to this right now because I know that we as women and we as human beings, we have this propensity to like tolerate people who are not healthy for us or put up with people who may have like differing or opposing values or people who are rude or condescending or just toxic for us. We have this like caretaker inside of us, this like maternal desire to take care of people and sometimes, you know, maybe it's within our self-esteem. We think maybe we're not worthy of having better people in our lives, or we don't know how to have better people in our lives. And we'll get to this in one of the modules, but I wanted to speak to this now because having having the ability in this lifestyle gardening process to just name the people, if we have any in our lives, name the people who are, that don't line up with our values, who maybe don't treat us with respect, who makes snide or snarky comments, or who gossip a lot, or who are not, you know, in integrity or accountable, or whatever your values are for yourself. And I encourage you to explore what your values are in so far as what you want in other people or what you want in your friendships, to take a really close look at that, because the people we surround ourselves with and the energy that they carry into our lives, it's so influential. Like, we are so impacted by our social dynamics. So this is an invitation for you to, if at very least, own who it is that is really healthy for you, that you're like, I love hanging out with this person, they're awesome. The people that are on the other end of the spectrum that are toxic and unhealthy. And then perhaps, in terms of like planting seeds socially, what kinds of people would you like to bring into your life? What are the qualities that they have? What are the values that they have in them, or in the way that they relate with other people? So this is really an invitation to get really crystal clear about what you want in your life. Again, not to be redundant, but the social piece is so important. And it takes a lot of courage and bravery. And man, do I know this firsthand, having to, you know, let go of some people who I thought that were really great friends of mine, but they turned out not to be. It took a lot of courage, but in my life is a billion times better now. So I just wanted to mention that. I give you full permission. I invite you to give yourselves full permission to let go, or at least identify what's not working, who's not working, and start to think about what your life will be like once you let that toxic energy go and really embrace people who you really love. So a little bit of a sidetrack or caveat there, but it's super important. And that's another personal example from my life too, of having to, my coach was like, who do you have in your life right now that is causing you stress or is toxic? And I had to really look at that and be accountable to the quality of life I was living and let go of those people and really up-level my life. Because it's not just, you know, our lives aren't just one categorical thing. It's not just our environment or our career or our health, you know, it's all of these things. And social is a major, major part of that. So we'll be talking more about that in the relationship with others module, but so in every capacity that you can consider what's working, what's not, I encourage you to do that. And I can't underscore or like emphasize enough how important this is. So this is where you get to call the shots in your own life, which is super empowering. So, okay. So I did a couple of shares around my lifestyle gardening, and raise your hand. Are you all willing to do a share? You don't have to, but if you are, that's awesome. Okay. So we'll start with Karen. Lifestyle gardening, anything that you want to weed, seed, or water, and maybe values if you want to share those too.
Sure. So, the one of the things I want to weed out, and Paul and I've discussed this with you as well, and it's a type of grayness, unproductiveness, laziness, lethargicness, I don't know what you call it, but just kind of being low in energy when it comes to emotions. And we've kind of zoned in into the causes, and I have been spending a lot of time trying to zoom in to what is causing this, because it's not who I want to be. I like to have a lot of energy. I want to do big things in life. I want to look back at life and be happy about it. I don't want to feel like I'm stuck. So that's something I'm working on weeding out, because it shouldn't be there. And something I am working on planting the seeds for is very similar. I'm working hard in creating relationships, mm-hmm. meeting people, and specifically I'm really looking hard to try and meet people that's going to influence me in a good way, but specifically people that has done things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. Because I agree with, you know, the people you spend the most time with, or you are the product of the people you spend the most time with. And I've noticed lately, I don't really have a lot of those people that does what I want to do. And that's something it's going to take long. I've made peace with the fact that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, but I'm trying to meet at least one person every week. I deliberately take action every Monday. I start thinking about who do I want to hang out with?
Awesome.
Who am I going to contact through Meetup? What call am I going to join? Where am I going? It's always uncomfortable, but that's unfortunately one of those yucky, ugly stuff that I have to do because it's part of the planting of the seeds. And yes, because that's what I want. I want strong trees to eventually grow with mm-hmm. great relationships and awesome people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. that's mine.
Yeah, awesome, Karen. I love that. I love hearing you claim that and really taking those deliberate steps to reach out to people to rebuild your social network. And I'm so incredibly proud of you. I love that you have a day of the week that you do that. So there's Mondays, you think, well, what meetups do I want to attend? Who do I want to meet? I mean, this is great. The more you can make this a practice and a habit and a process, the better. So I love it, choosing a specific day. Being
sure. And it's been really hard. I've missed it every single week. But I know on Mondays I'm supposed to schedule something, and I struggle with that mm-hmm. because I just, it's hard. It's like peeling a Band-Aid, having to force myself to meet with somebody. I find it very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so usually I don't get to do it on the Monday, but I start thinking about it. So usually by the Wednesday, I have courage to call up somebody.
I see.
But anyway.
Yeah, so, no, thank you for mentioning that. So there's a lot of resistance there on Mondays?
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you be willing to share what that resistance feels like or where it might be coming from?
Yeah, that's what I'm spending a lot of time on. I am not sure why. Or I think it comes from a place of fear and hurt and a lot of emotions that's been building up through years and years and years and never even realizing that it's been something I've been pushing away and hiding from myself all along. And I never even realized what I feel until I got to this point where I moved to a different country and all that emotions just instantaneously combusted, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that forced me into realizing what I feel. I think once I hope that once I zone into what it was that hurt me, that I can change the fact from the fiction, because mm-hmm. that's also something I've realized. A lot of these things, yes, sure, it did hurt. However, it wasn't that bad. It was bad, but it wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So if you tell yourself, well, maybe your mind made it bigger than it really was, then it's past, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're exploring some other possibilities. What else is possible in terms of the way that you've interpreted the events of the past? How might you be able to think about things differently?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. So that's a very empowering exercise to practice, is to do exactly that. Reflect on a memory or an event and kind of have an image of it and explore it from all of these different angles, right? So maybe the elephant, I'll use the example of an elephant because that's what I was taught in neurolinguistic programming, but you look at an elephant and maybe one side of it's painted blue. And so you're like, oh man, that elephant is definitely blue. But once you kind of zoom out and you walk on the elephant, maybe the other side of it is gray, right? Or purple or pink, whatever. It's kind of a silly analogy, but just being able to think about things and make different meaning from our memories. And I want to say, and I think this is very important to mention, it's not about dismissing the actual event or pretending that it didn't happen or being in denial or discounting it's, you know, it, that it happened in our lives. So it's not about being in denial, but it's about being in choice. And that's a very important place to be in, because when we are not at choice about the way that something affects us, we're disempowered, right? Our control is in the hands of the event itself or the memory. So all of this is to say, I love that you're exploring this in this way. And this is a really, really, really powerful tool. Something that I've done and I encourage people to do that have memories that seem to be really painful is to go back and rewrite them from the perspective of it going exactly the way they would want it to, right? So a memory of being bullied in high school, or the memory of being made fun of because I left my religious group, whatever, I can go back and revisit these memories and write them from a perspective that's really empowered, where like everything was great and it was fine. And it's not that we want to be delusional, but it's that we get to have permission and we get to have agency over the power that our memories have. And if we want to be happy, then creating a powerful and I guess like empowered version of the memory contributes to joy a lot more so than the painful version. So so that was a total sidetrack, but does that make sense, Karin?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So I love that you're doing that. Yeah. Keep it up. I love how courageous and brave you are. I respect that so, so much, and you knowing how painful the move was and hearing that you're taking those steps is amazing. So thank you for being so courageous and brave for yourself.
Thank you for helping.
Yeah, of course. All right. Patricia, would you be willing to share with us?
Yes, awesome. I definitely would. So it's kind of funny how you started out, Karin, about the kind of frozen feeling, the inactivity, you know, the inaction. That's something I struggle with a lot as well. There's lots of thoughts and things I want to do, but I can't even put my feet on the ground on any of them. You know, I'm just lying in bed, like frozen. and I know that feeling very well. And I feel like inaction is something that holds me back a lot. And I don't know, you know, I'm still exploring kind of where that inaction comes from, and what it is that is kind of stopping me from moving on these goals that I know I want and that I know are attainable, or at least even just exploring what I might want. Mm-hmm. Or even just doing the dishes sometimes, and, you know, it's just mm-hmm. trying to get up and make it happen. So that's something I really would like to weed out, is that inaction. I would like to weed out inaction. And I would like to grow the seeds of clean kitchens and accomplish goals. But I know that, there's methods that we've talked about, you know, there's the 5 second rule. I mean, Mel Robbins is just kind of like a fire in the pants. Anytime that you put her mm-hmm. on, even if she's not in the room, she'll make you get up and start moving no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. So just kind of that kind of thing, like not allowing my brain to talk myself out of things, trying to get ahead of the ego telling me that I can't do the thing that I want to do because such and such reasons, you know, I don't deserve it, or I'm not worth it, or it's too much effort. That's definitely something I want to weed out. I want to weed out inaction, and I want to plant the seeds of action and, I guess in line with that, you know, I want to weed out hesitation and doubt and just kind of foster sense of, you know, belief that I can do these things. And not just that I can do these things, but that I am able to do these things, that I can, that I get to do these things, right? You know, mm-hmm. that they're not just things I have to do. They're not just things to check off a list. They're, they matter, you know, and that they lead to the kind of life that I want to live and to the kind of person that I want to be. So yeah, that's something I really want to keep working on. Really got to keep working on that inaction, that procrastination, that hesitation. I want to cut those out.
Right? Yeah. Kick them, get them out of the garden.
I want to cut them out. I want to rip them out.
Barehanded. Yeah. Stuff them in a sack and throw them in the trash.
Exactly. That's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Patricia, for sharing that. I respect your, you know, your honesty and your vulnerability. And it is so, it's so common. And so you bring a great gift in sharing that with the group and whoever's listening, you know, on the call in the future. You know, you're not alone. We all come up against this to, you know, to varying degrees. So thank you for being the kind of the spokesperson for this really real thing that happens in life. And I want to acknowledge the fact that you have made so much progress. You have become an very actionable, kick-ass warrioress of taking action. Relatively, yeah, absolutely, and it's true. And I'm not just like, you know.
I know.
Piping hot
I
air.
I believe you, sort of.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to give you that feedback.
Thank you.
But also to remember that you have, and that's one of the biggest weapons we have on our side, ladies, is the evidence, the supporting evidence for anything, like anything at all that we want to have more of in our lives, finding more supporting evidence for the fact that we can do it or we have done it in the past, like that goes in our arsenal, right? That mm-hmm. goes in when we feel inaction, when I wake up and I'm like, I don't know if I want to journal today. I remember there was a period of 3 years where I journaled every morning and it felt amazing, right? So there's no excuse and there's all this evidence that I can do it. It's not that I can't do it. And to tap into those reserves and those reservoirs and those memories of that positive momentum can be so powerful. So yeah. So please know that I, from my perspective, you have become an action badass and to utilize that momentum. Another thing that I wanted to share too, I don't think I've talked to any of you about this yet, so this is good. So I've been really researching in the last couple of months, the phenomenon and the usefulness of state change, which is basically being able to go from one state of mind or one state of emotion to another one really quickly. And this is especially useful if we're feeling stuck or if we're feeling like we don't want to do something. So the basic principle here is that we can, and maybe on the next call, I'll walk us all through an exercise. But we can go from any feeling, any mindset, any inner world experience, we can go from that to a completely different one in 25 seconds, so quickly. And what it takes, and I invite you to all start practicing this, is first of all, it's called an anchor. So this is drawing a lot from neurolinguistic programming, which is a really powerful modality for changing your life. So you create an anchor, and that anchor is a really positive memory. So in this case, maybe it's a memory of what it felt like for me to journal every morning for those 3 years, like just how cathartic that was, how much amazing writing came out of it, the fact that I did it, right? So really feeling, viscerally feeling in my body how amazing that felt for me to do. And to meditate on that, so that's an anchor. That would be my anchor, is the positive association I have with the thing I want to do that I'm feeling a lot of resistance around now. And so creating this positive anchor every single day, maybe two or three times a day, and really meditating on that positive anchor. Another level of this is to touch like one of my knuckles or a place on my finger every time that I'm referring, reflecting back, or fostering this positive memory. And that will start to create a neural pathway in my mind of memory and the language of, you know, I am journaling, I love journaling, journaling is great. So that all connects this, like, the physical, the somatic, the linguistic, and the emotional. So when we desire a state change of some kind, when we create this powerful anchor by rehearsing it, and one thing I want to mention here is it has to be really, really emotional, and it has to be something we really, really want. So I really do want to journal. I really do. Like, it's an amazing thing when I do it. So when I feel into that desire and I feel into that good feeling, that's the most important part of this anchoring process, is how good it feels, like how much I'm excited about it. And once we start to create this anchor, then tomorrow morning, or maybe I'll start creating my anchor in the next couple of days. So maybe Friday morning, as I'm laying in bed and I'm like wanting to journal, I will come back to this anchor. Maybe I'll touch that knuckle and I'll be like, oh yeah, like journaling's awesome. It feels really good. And that association is already in my mind. And I shift from being like, I'm just going to pick up my phone and start my work day, albeit in Mexico, but I'll go from like not wanting to journal basically to shifting to want to journal. So creating those visualizations, those anchors, even if it's something that we haven't done yet or before, let's say, what's a good example? So I would really like to learn how to fire hula hoop. I already do like the fire poi, but I want to learn how to fire hula hoop, and I've never done it before. So I have this fear of like, man, I'm not really sure. I'm really scared of that. So I'm not going to try. And so I've been really working on, anytime I'm around like friends who do fire arts, I'm like just kind of training myself to have a positive association with that learning process and like how amazing it felt to learn fire poi and how great it's going to feel for me to do fire hoop. So kind of a interesting example, but anchors are really, really powerful tools. So the more we can create these like happy, motivated, energized, creative anchors, we can literally like tap into that at any point. So a little bit of NLP for you ladies. Any questions about that at all? Is this connecting? Cool. All right. So yeah, Patricia, or everybody in the world, when we don't feel like taking action or we don't feel motivated, we can use anchors to help us get off our butts and do the thing we want to do. Looks like Marae stepped away for a moment. Marae, are you around? Your video feed is off.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I think somebody rang the door and my dog went crazy.
No sweat. No problem.
Okay. I think I'm back. All right.
Well,
you can hear me now?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. I just want to say, I feel like our group is all in sync here, because I can totally relate with the whole procrastination aspect of things. Getting motivated to do things that you actually really, really want to do, it's always been a struggle. Mm-hmm. And I told you this before, I'm like, I'm a list maker. I like to make lists. And I feel like if I write it down, it's half the battle. Uh-huh. If you know what you want to do, you're mm-hmm. like, it's like committing yourself to doing it. So mm-hmm. I find that helpful. On the other hand, I have set goals before, and I set a routine, and it's like, you know, your morning routine, you just get up and start doing things. And they went on for so long to the point where the routine became a rut. So I had to kind of step out and redo things. One huge example is, you know, you're mentioning yoga and the exercise, for example. Mm-hmm. It was a morning thing for me for a while, and then I really did get into a rut. I'm like, I need something else, or I need to change my routine somehow. So I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is an interesting thing that you're talking about, the anchor. That's something I hadn't tried. That would be a useful trick. Mm-hmm. And the state change, actually, you could like explain a little bit more what you mean by state change.
Sure. Yeah. Have you ever had the experience of watching a movie and there's a scene where you're like on the edge of your seat and maybe it's like one of those action scenes in 007 or something, and you're just, your adrenaline's up and you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh my God, this is crazy. And then it changes, like the scene change. And now it's like the passionate, like love affair between the lead character and the woman. And then you're all like emotional and gooey and feeling, you know, so that's a state change. We go from one visceral experience of intensity to another one, you know, and we're so capable. Like if I think about all of the emotional things that I go through when I watch a movie, it's like the whole rainbow spectrum of emotions. So that is to show that we have the capacity as human beings to change almost on a dime if we intend to, or if we're aware of it, or if we want to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. So that's another tool we can have in our toolbox when we feel, you know, if we're feeling bad about ourselves, if we're feeling lazy, if we're feeling like we want to procrastinate, we can create these scene changes, maybe is another way to say it, or anchors or attentional shifts to connect with what it is that we do want. Because really it's just a matter of like, where is our consciousness? Where is our thoughts at the moment? Our thoughts, our attention becomes our reality. And so if we can shift our attention in a different direction, maybe we play, something that I've been doing lately is recording really motivational messages to myself in my phone, and I will go back and listen to them. And it actually really, really helps. All of my affirmations, these positive things that I want to believe or want to do, like I'm sitting here in Mexico right now, not on accident. It's something that I had to work through a lot of stuff and visualize a lot of things to get to this point. So all of this is to say, anything that can help us shift our attention from the disempowering reality to the empowering reality, that's an anchor or a state change or a scene change. So does that sound useful? Does that connect with you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it could be something as simple as getting up and moving to a different room, maybe.
Yeah.
Changing your environment.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really, really good point.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the weeding or the gardening, I have to say, for some reason, out of the list, courage popped into view for me. And if you remember, Brené Brown, she defined courage as just sharing your story. That was a very interesting way of looking at it. And I think a lot of it has to do with you being actually listening to what you're saying to yourself. And listening to the story of yourself inside your head.
Yeah.
So that's something I really have to shift for myself in order to move forward, I think. Definitely the meeting new social groups, meeting new people, and putting positive people that give you positive energy, doing the things that you're interested in doing. I totally agree with all that. I think maybe as women, I think the people that we surround with ourselves with is very important.
Yeah.
We just feed off each other's energy. And I love that. I mean, I think that's something I never used to think, I used to think that I was not affected by that, believe it or not. I'm just having to be more honest with myself that it does affect me a lot. So, it's very important who you surround yourself with and the things that you do. So I appreciate this group, for example. It seems like we're all on the same page.
Yeah. Cool. Yay. I appreciate it. Yeah. Woohoo for that. So grateful. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Marae. Without saying too much, I want to acknowledge your willingness to shift your story around how valuable and important connection is and being in group or, you know, having positive people in our lives. I think sometimes we can really get really good at convincing ourselves that like, oh, I don't need anybody else, or like, I'm fine, I've got my family, or I've got myself, or, you know, I'm fine. But that's not the case, right? Like we're we're social creatures, we're tribal creatures. So I really appreciate your willingness to start thinking about that differently and being honest with yourself, like you said, in terms of how important that is and how that is something that you want in your life. And I'm really glad that this space is a place where you feel that. Yeah. Has there been anything specific that has helped you to maybe notice that story that you had around how you used to feel about, I don't know, people or relationships?
Yeah, I've had to become more aware of how people make me feel about myself, I guess. Like you're saying, there are people that are in your life that you totally didn't notice were being negative. Not that they're being negative, it's just the way that you're allowing them to affect you in a way.
Right.
And it's like you can only control your reaction to certain people for so long. And then you're like, you just have to remove yourself from being around them because of their snide remarks all the time. It's like the little things sometimes that you don't even notice. You're like, okay, well, we're just, it's not like they have to do something horrible or swindle you out of a bunch of money or anything. It's just little things.
Yeah.
judgmental talk, you know, that feed you the wrong story that you have going in your head. If you're already telling yourself, you know, I'm not good enough or I can or cannot do something, and these people are just feeding into that for you, that's where you need to distance yourself from that group or individual or however it may be. And be around people that can understand and are going in the same direction you want to go.
Yeah. Oof. High fives to that. That's 100%. Yeah. You should teach the module on relationships. You just articulated that so well. no, I'm so grateful that's connecting with you at this point in your life and that you're taking ownership of noticing that, putting yourself first in so far as what's healthy for you, letting go of those, you know, the toxicity that anybody else might be bringing into your life. This is awesome. You're already doing this lifestyle gardening on a social level. Yes, I'm celebrating that. And I'm really appreciative of how much you feel the truth of the importance of this. It's not just something you're shoulding on yourself. Like, I should have better people in my life, or I should take better care of myself in this way. But it's like it sounds to me, I think what I'm hearing is that you're really understanding how imperative it is and how important it is.
It is, because I have actually, since we've talked, physically distanced myself from some people, and I feel like 100% better.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I can breathe and I can be happy and I can wake up and smile, you know, that kind of thing. It's a huge thing that you don't notice. It's like underlying everyday thing. The story that you're telling yourself in your head is very important. It's really big. But it takes courage. So to make a circle back to where I started, you have to have the courage to say that to yourself. Because it's not easy. Again, as women, you don't want to, one identity you don't want to identify with is being a cold shoulder, you know, to somebody. But it's not that. It's just, you know, you're still friendly, just not hanging out as much.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for that. So true. So true. To circle back to the cheating on, you know, cheating on ourselves. When we put others first in an unhealthy way, or we let others run our lives, or their toxic behaviors, and, you know, like, become more important than our being true to ourselves and being honest with ourselves and having that courage, we're cheating on ourselves. And that's, you know, it's a very overly simplistic way to put that, perhaps, but it is very, that resonates a lot with me, you know, and because again, I mentioned this on the first and second calls, but our relationship with ourselves is the most important relationship we'll ever, ever have in our lives. And if we don't take care of ourselves first and make those healthy choices in all capacities, then, you know, we know what that could look like or what that has looked like. And that's what we're doing here together, is up-leveling and weeding things out. So yeah, thank you for mentioning that. And the courage piece, it takes so much courage to put ourselves first in that way. I think Paula spoke to that on the last call, right? Like how everything we're taught as women is to take care of others and to, you know, make sure, like, oh, we're the life of the party, or we're the ones that provide, or we caretake, and it just works. We're the kick-ass business women. We're the family, you know, we take care of the family, we feed the family, we clean the house, we take care of the animals, we drive the kids, so we do like 50,000. We're expected to do all these things. Like, no, fuck that. Like, that's insane, right? But it goes against, like, stepping into our own truth and our own independence goes against everything that we've been conditioned or brainwashed, so to speak, to believe about what we're supposed to be doing. So I commend every single one of you for having the courage to say, wait a second, what do I want in my life? How do I want to design my life intentionally? And I don't care what the, you know, what society or the world says I should do, or these people try to guilt me or shame me into doing. I don't want that anymore in my life. So yeah. So on that note, I'm just massively grateful and proud of all of you for taking ownership and, you know, doing, stepping out of your comfort zones and leaning into the discomfort of the unknown, and for the sake of your life's journey and for the sake of the best life possible for yourself. It's, I mentioned this on the last call too, but the phrase, you know, if it's to be, it's up to me. And it's true. Nobody else is going to pick you up and give you the life that you want, this like amazing life that you want, and this way of feeling about yourself and this love and this joy and this compassion. Nobody else can do that but you. So it's amazing that you're all doing, like, taking the horse by the reins and taking your life seriously and prioritizing yourselves the way that you are. The benefits, if you have not already started to experience the benefits of taking responsibility and accountability for your lives, it will be happening soon. But I think that most of you have already had at least a little bit of a taste of that. So awesome. All right. Well, we are just about at time, and I want to do a takeaway. Let me see how much time we have here. We've got about 6 minutes. Let's do a takeaway, and then I have a recommendation for the group that I want to close. Actually, I'll do that first, and then we'll do a takeaway. Sorry. So quick, short little share, and Patricia, I have you to thank for this, actually. On my drive down from Idaho to California, I listened to, or maybe it's on the way from LA to San Francisco. But anyway, I listened to Jen Sincero's book, You Are a Badass. And I had read the You Are a Badass at Making Money about a month ago. But I listened to You Are a Badass, and I have read, I don't want to say every self-development, self-help book out there, but I've read a freaking lot of them, ladies. And this book is amazing. It is now required reading for every single one of you and every single one of my clients. In fact, I think that You Are a Badass and Code of the Extraordinary Mind are like, those are going to be like the two core books that I recommend to everybody. But this book is, it's authentic. It's, you know, she's very relatable. She uses cuss words. She uses really funny examples. She's a great read. And she literally, if everybody read this book, if each of you read this book and like do what she says, like, I'm out of a job. she really does a terrific job of like outlining the whole process from everything we've already talked about to, you know, purpose discovery, exploring. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal read. I can't recommend it highly enough. I'm on my third listen in 3 weeks. I just like, I'm hooked. So yeah, thank you for the, something about one of our conversations, Patricia. I was like, oh, I want to listen to that too. So
It was because you had recommended You Are a Badass at Making Money. So I was like, yes, that one. So it's all, it comes back to you, Vaughn. You did this. You gave this gift to yourself. Because once I listened to that one, I was like, oh, I love her. I want to hear the next, like her first one.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I told you I was starting to do that. I'm really glad that you also, you know, enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Love her.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. That makes sense now. Yeah. So it's kick ass. Like, I think I'm just super jazzed about it. If you can't tell, I think I'm going to have it in, like, I'm probably going to listen to at least a few minutes of it every day for the rest of my life. Cause it's in any of those moments where I'm starting to feel like in any way disempowered or like I'm not making progress or the gremlins start coming in, I just push play and I'm like, oh yeah, never mind. Just joking. Like, I'm a badass. So highly recommend that book. I wanted to offer that up to the group, get a copy of it, get the audiobook, devour it. It's great. And I would love to, you know, talk about that maybe on one of the calls or answer any questions that you have as you go through it. But it's perfectly in sync and in step with the program that I've developed. So it's awesome. Like, thanks for writing that, Jen. All right. So shifting gears. And I will send a link out with this, the audio from this call, send a link to that book too, so that you all can find it. So let's segue into any questions about anything that we've covered on tonight's call. Let's go ahead and talk about any questions first. Ladies, anything at all? Good. Okay. As always, feel free to email me or text me if you have questions in the interim. So let's go ahead and do a takeaway. So anything that stood out or you learned or anything that resonated or maybe came up or anything at all that you'd like to share based on what we've covered on the call tonight. And Karin, I will start with you, my dear.
Sure.
Awesome.
So two takeaways, one takeaway and something that I would like to share. So a big one tonight, and it's nice that it's so nice to share and hear everybody's stories and see that, you know, we really are not alone. Our feelings are normal and there's other people out there that has the same feelings, and that's why it's good to talk. But a good summary of the relationship part and you all said it so well is be open to meeting people and having relationships, but love yourself first and be friendly and kind to yourself. If somebody doesn't respect or love you or treat you in accordance to your values, then don't allow that, because you have to love yourself first. Mm-hmm. And allow people in your life that's going to love and accept you as well. And then something that I would like to share, even though it doesn't always work with me, it's definitely something profound that has affected my life directly and really helped me. There was this time where I was stuck and feeling like I'm in a midlife crisis, and somebody that I met that same day said something to me. He said, nothing in life is a must. Everything is a choice. And I really didn't get that at first. Whew. And I thought about it so long, and it was so amazing because it freed me from something that I thought in my mind was a must and that I hated. And then I thought about it. No, it's a choice. And if it's not a choice, it's not something I want to do, then why am I doing it? So yeah, maybe hopefully it helps one of you with something that you feel stuck at also. And if you don't want to get up for your yoga classes or something at school or whatever it might be in your life, hopefully you see it that is a choice, because you have a different anchor. You have a different vision that you see in that. So that's it. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that. I got goosebumps when you said that, Karin. Thank you. Yeah. Nothing is a must. Everything is a choice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's such an incredible way to put that. And maybe Patricia would be willing to share how that has become a piece of jewelry in your life. We've been talking about jewelry.
Actually, I've been kind of on the edge of my seat because I think it got delivered just like today, like while this call was happening. So I need to go check my mail. But yeah, so I really liked what we talked about with state change and your explanation of that and what that is and having an anchor. So I actually purchased, I had a ring custom made for me as an anchor, kind of to do the same kind of thing, to put me in that right state of mind where, you know, it's, I always struggle with the, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. So the ring says, it's engraved just with the words "I get to," and it's a reminder, I get to do these things. It's a choice and it's a blessing. You know, it reminds me of all the things I should be grateful for instantly when I rephrase things from "I have to" "I get to." It's like, oh, you know, I get to do the dishes because I have dishes to do, because I made dinner because I ate a healthy meal because I nourished my body. You know, those are, it just totally reframes. And but it's very also, as with all things like that, very easy to forget that that's like the state of mind that you want to be in. That's what you're trying to, you know, that's the frequency that you're trying to resonate with. So this, I'm really looking forward to having the physical anchor. And I definitely want to explore more about, you know, kind of, creating an anchor of a time or of a memory, or of a desire, and associating it with that as well. You know, a time where, you know, I felt really in control or in charge, or, you know, I felt like I was being like the best me that I could be. So I like kind of how all of those things are sort of linking back together and feeding into each other in a very positive sort of loop. So so that was kind of my takeaway, and I'm really excited. I promise I'll post a picture once I get the ring.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Yeah,
hopefully I'll have it. Yeah, I'll post it. I'll post it to the Facebook. And yeah, so thank you for inspiring me to do that. I think it's going to be a positive. It's one of those things where I never want to take it off. I want to see it. When I wake up in the morning, I see it and I'm like, I don't have to wake up for work. I get to wake up for work. I'm alive. I'm, you know, I'm healthy. I have a job, like all those things that will just instantly frame my day in a way more positive manner than hitting that snooze button or just picking up that phone and scrolling through sad Facebook. So,
right.
Yeah. Definitely a better thing to do in the morning.
Hell yes, Patricia. That is so awesome. I love that you've done, like, you ordered that you made the conscious choice to, and that you want to, like, you want to feel like you get to enough to override that, like, victim mentality of like, oh, that's like, right. I have to, right? And
yes,
like that's what it's all about. So thanks for sharing that. And and Karin, so that ties in with what you were saying too, right? Mm-hmm. Like nothing is a must, everything is a choice. Yeah, so if anybody listening in on the call in the future, or for both of you, obviously Patricia's already done it, but choose a piece of jewelry to wear to remind you, you know, like you don't have to order one, but if there's something you can wear that you'll look at and be like, oh yeah, like I get to do this thing, or everything is a choice, or I am amazing, or I love myself, or I am the brilliant light of the universe, whatever it is that you want to tune into to raise your frequency, to stay committed to this awesome, awesome, awesome life that you get to live, do it. And jewelry or like wristbands or things like that are a great way to do it. So awesome. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Yeah, I feel really fired up. My takeaway is my takeaway is my gratitude for each and every one of you and for all of us being on the path always to becoming better and, you know, being the brightest lights we can be and living hell yes lives, and that we're not in this alone and we get to like celebrate together and feel like we're a team and we're not alone. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the rest
of
the night, ladies.
Thanks, Patricia.
Mm-hmm.